The Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live.
Welcome on in. If you are watching, taking in our content today, and you're from out of town, you're in town for the Super Bowl, you're in town for the WM Open, but you are a tourist, get out. Get out. Go pack up your room, turn off your device, get your rental car, and get on over to the airport or get to the borders, because we have spring training coming in now. We have three golf tournaments the next few. It's nice that you're here. It's great that you've been visiting us. If you really love it here, then come back in July. Come back July 10th. Show us that you really like what Arizona is all about. Show us you really like our golf courses. They're open in July, by the way. Nobody's on them because it's 115 degrees. But if you really like Arizona and you're here for the Super Bowl and you're still here and you're like, I'm going to watch Frank Isola because Frank's a national name. He's going to be on with Brad. Yep, we're going to have Frank on in about 10:20. We are going to have Debbie Johnson on from the Arizona Office of Tourism, because sports and tourism, this is what we do. We do big events, okay? We're 13 months away from the Final Four being here. And then we have another Final Four, the Women's Final Four, in a couple of years. Next, 3 weeks from now, we have the Senior Tour in golf. We have the LIV in golf. We have the LPGA in golf coming up all in the next month. So get out. Give us our rental cars back. Turn over the heads on beds. That's what we need. Hope you had a good weekend. I'm playing hurt today. It's not like drinking hurt. It's just a lot this week. Like every day there was something. There was something going on. There was a party to be at. There was a suite to be in. It's not like, oh, a little violin for Brad. No, it's business too. A lot of business that was being done. And just being a part of the community. I think I was at the Open six of the 7 days. And that's just a lot to take in. I laid low on the Super Bowl like you. I took it in. I was in my back patio, just had it on outside and enjoyed the night. Just my wife and I would look over at her and see if she was laughing at the commercials and the little things in the commercials, like lacy underalls in the spoof of Caddyshack was played by Alex Morgan, the soccer player. I thought that was kind of cool. The Dunkin' Donuts spot and the people that were in that. And on it went. The halftime show and everything. We'll get into all of it. Get into every last bit of it. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, start banking better and getting more with free checking from Desert Financial. Join a winning team at desertfinancial.com. They had a Super Bowl spot. Desert Financial had two spots in the Super Bowl. That's big time. Jeff Meshi and company, that is big time. That is big coinage. We're going to put our brand in the Super Bowl. Their spot ran right before Rihanna. That's not cheap real estate. It's a lot of eyeballs. So let's, we appreciate Jeff and their support. Let's get into the game itself from yesterday. So it was a cheap penalty. Let's not sit here and sugarcoat it. If you're a Chiefs fan, oh, it was a penalty. If you're an Eagles fan, you're like, I saw some media guys in Philly that were on the air that were just dropping BS, but they weren't saying BS calls. They were just mad. These guys were mad. And of course, you're not supposed to cheer if you're in our position. You're not supposed to, but that's pretty much gone out the window with a lot of people. You know, the game itself was back and forth. It was entertaining. Jalen Hurts looked terrific. Mahomes gets hurt. Mahomes comes out. Who knows if Rihanna's not doing halftime, if the shorter halftime would have impacted him. I don't know. The field conditions, that's an NFL thing, because that was a problem. That's a problem. That's on the NFL. That's the field they had brought in. That's on them. What I know to be true about us here in Arizona, and this is me being a homer because where I live is we do big events really well. And we have to be concerned about keeping big events coming here in the future because Las Vegas will host next year. Once you get a taste of Las Vegas, it usually feels like you'll never go anywhere else. Give me another city that had 800,000 people at a golf course, which is the number. Give me another one, and you're going to get nothing. And the same time as the Super Bowl. And I felt like Jon Rahm said it well. the PGA Tour can comfortably do their own event with the Super Bowl in town and no one will know. And he's right. I didn't feel the impact on this. I'll share a story with you in a second about Bobby Flay, the famous chef, and my interaction with him over the last week, this last week, actually. The game, Patrick Mahomes, we said this last week, he could show up at the Super Bowl and say, I'm not going to play, I'm retiring, and he'd still go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, second Super Bowl win in 4 years for Kansas City, gutting it out, long run, gimpy ankle, all of that stuff. And yeah, there were blown calls by the officials. The flag that was thrown, was it a penalty? Sure. But it's like, let them decide this in the final. It wasn't a mugging. It wasn't a mugging. And Bradbury said, yep, I held him. And I appreciate the, I always love it when someone's accountable and not blaming everybody else. Okay. But I felt like in that moment, in that space, and if you're a Chiefs fan, you're vehemently disagreeing with me, but if you're on the other side of the coin today and it happened to Kansas City, oh my gosh, why would they call that? It's cheap. That's fandom. Fandom is blind. You don't care. You don't care about the details. All you want is your team to win and beat the other. You don't care. So if it happens to you somewhere down the road, you'd lose your mind and you'd lose your bleep, and that's where Philadelphia fans are today. Very entertaining game. I went, and Rihanna was great. Rihanna did 10 songs, pregnant, up on a stand, all the choreography. I'd read where the Super Bowl, the NFL does not pay these people to perform. They have to pay it for themselves. The trade-off is she got exposed to about 190 million people last night to her brand. So, of course, you're going to go out and say, I'll go do my thing. You don't have to write me a check because I'll make so much money on the other side. And it was a great show. I have no problems with it. I think when I see people that have problems with the Super Bowl or big events, sometimes, and some of these people I know, they have a political leaning and they want to turn it into something political rather than just, would you guys just breathe and enjoy life for a minute and have some grace? I don't know. It was pretty entertaining. I was at the Open yesterday at 16. I went out by myself yesterday morning. Actually, I took my son and three of his buddies and turned them loose. Here's some members clubs. You guys go get lost. I'm going to walk by myself. I need a break from talking. So I walked with Rory. I don't know if Rory is going to come back. I don't know if the WM is going to stay as an elevated event. I think when Rory collapsed Saturday morning, he was playing his second round. There was a moment there where I could feel the air come out of some of the Thunderbirds balloons and CBS Sports, because you would have had Rory and Scheffler and Schauffele and Rahm all together, and Rory fell out. Rory's the most popular player. He just is. I went to 16 and walked out with Rory and Matt Kuchar. We were at, what, 4, 5, 6. I ditched him there, went over to 15, hung out. Then Arizona State's coaches asked me to come up to their suite, went up to their suite, had a nice chat with Kenny Dillingham and his wife Bree, took in 16 Saturday. So I'll get to Bobby Flay now, the Bobby Flay story. And then we'll have Frank Isola with us. Frank is, of course, ESPN, NBA Sirius XM, is part of the Nets broadcast at YES Network. So he knows this Kevin Durant deal inside and out. So I want to have Frank on to talk about this, and we'll do that here in a couple minutes. So the backstory on Bobby Flay, because to me, I don't watch the Food Network much. I know Bobby Flay. I know the brand. He's on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I get a phone call from a friend of mine. He is in the entertainment business. And this friend I've known for 30 years, and he's helped me along the way with some guests and some cool things that have helped the business out, quite frankly. You know, when there's times I come across someone like, you know, Matt Damon, and he's in Ford versus Ferrari, and I'm able to get him and sit with him and bring it to you. Those are people that help. You know, they just do. Matthew McConaughey and, you know, a young Jimmy Fallon, all these sports movies we've done. This person never calls and asks for help. So he called and he said, last week he said, hey, Bobby wants to go to the golf tournament, the WM. He's out there for the Super Bowl. Can you help? Well, I'm not going to say no. And I find Tim Hovick over at Santan Ford. He has this beautiful suite on 17. All of his wristbands are already out because everybody's on Tim. I have wristbands from Members Club. People start becoming my friend around early December for some reason. And then I have people, even on my own team, that will text me like 2 days before, hey, can you help me out? It's fine. You have to expect it. But Tim's in a higher real estate. He's in the Bay Club. So I get this phone call when I'm with Tim, and I said, hung up. I said, so Bobby Flay is trying to get in. He said, how many do you need? I said, I need four. He gets me four. There's PR people at the Food Network that are involved. There's PR people all around this guy that are involved. And I just tell them, I am not leaving these at will call. That's not happening. I need to meet up with him in person. He's never been. I'll pick him up. I actually offered to pick him and his crew up, and I will take them there. I have a valet spot. I'll walk him in. He'll be incognito. You don't want to go. Trust me on this. It was for Saturday. Think about this, guys. If you've been to the Open, do you want to take your friend or someone, if you're in the business world, a valued customer or somebody that's never navigated the WM on a Saturday? So I kept after it when they were saying, well, leave him here, leave him there. No, I'm going to meet with him. That's what I'm going to do. So we finally met up at one of the resorts where he was staying, and I'm in the hotel bar. This was Friday afternoon, about 3:45. They send me his number. I text him, I'm downstairs. And it walks Bobby Flay. And he sits down, and I have this in an envelope. I crack it open. He's very nice. Very, thank you so much for accommodating. It's so nice of you to do this. Da 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 da. I mean, he's just doing his thing. He's out here for Super Bowl and all that. When I was telling this story to people, they're like, oh my gosh, you met Bobby Flay. Did you get a picture? No. Did you get an autograph? No. Not going to do that. I'm not fanboy. And so we just sat and visited about all sorts of stuff for it was like 30 minutes. But I wanted to make sure that he got there on Saturday to Tim's place. So Saturday morning, take my wife, brother-in-law, sister. We're sitting over in the members. Somebody calls me at Ford and says, hey, we have an extra wristband. We know you want to be here for Bobby. Come on over. So I'm in the member. I'm in the Bay Club. And he walks in with his group. He goes and sits down. Nobody's bothering him. I went over and he immediately says, I saw your baseball show. I saw you after we talked. I saw you. And I'm thinking, that baseball show is pretty good. It's not where it needs to be. Certainly not. He's like, it's pretty good. That's a good idea. It's a great concept. Da, 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 da. So we chatted about that and some other things. He's going to play in the Genesis next week. Very humble, very gracious. Sometimes you come in contact with people, even in this world, and it's, wow, this person is going to be so great, or she's going to be so awesome and amazing. And I don't know, someday if I ever decide to punch out from this, which is doubtful, I think I'll be like Al and just do things, Al McCoy, and just do it. I enjoy doing this. But if I ever were to have a spot where, you know, I met this person and they are really disappointing. You guys ever had that? You know, when you come across somebody that you've been watching and you're saying, well, this exceeded. He was great. He was, and the way he handled himself with everybody, introduced himself, so polite. And so it was a very good interaction. And there were some other things that we were at. And it's just a name that people say, oh my gosh, you met him. Didn't you get his cookbook? No, we're not fanboying here. That's not what we do. Not going to take hey, Bobby, can I take a selfie with you? There's a time and place for something fun like that, but that was not the place. In terms of the tournament, you know, I was rooting. I don't root, but I wanted John Rahm to finally win because he handled himself so well this week. I found myself saying, come on, man. 16 was fine. It was fun. Kent Summers retiring from the Republic. Ken had mentioned that to me a few weeks back. I'm very happy for him. Good things do happen to good people. That happened in our community. I think a story that flew way under the radar this weekend is New Mexico State shutting down their basketball program. I think this is going to become a national deal. It involves a gun. It involves cover-up. It involves coaches. It involves a lot of things on the surface. And yes, they're in the same conference as Grand Canyon University. So when GCU goes to Vegas to try to get into the tournament, they usually run into New Mexico State. It usually doesn't go well. New Mexico State shut their program down for the year. This story is going to just watch, mushroom cloud. The Cardinals still haven't hired a coach, and I could get into that. Is it concerning? It's got to be that Michael's waiting to see what assistant coaches, coordinators become available. He already has his eye on a couple. I would think they would do that in the next couple of days. If we're sitting here a week from now, then I will say this is a total joke. Like, it's already gone on way too long, in my opinion. So there's that, and I don't know, spring training gets started. I'm excited to go out to spring training. I'm very much looking forward to it. Frank Isola next on Kevin Durant, one of the national names, Sirius XM, NBA Radio in the mornings, ESPN, pardon the interruption. He fills in for Tony or for Mike. He also, of course, does the Nets broadcasts on Yes Network, so none better than Frank Isola. And Frank's always great. Debbie Johnson, Arizona Office of Tourism. And John Wilner, YSMU. How about that road trip? You're going to go from Pullman to Dallas to play games if SMU goes into the Pac-12. And why are we waiting so long? Isn't it time for Commissioner Kliavkov to be on the Heat? Maybe he's not the right guy for this gig. So we have all that coming up next. Stay with us. All right, as promised, I wanted to have Frank Isola with us for a few minutes. I mean, Frank, you see him on PTI, you see him on Around the Horn. He covers the Nets on Yes. He's on Sirius XM with Brian Scalabrine. He's been right around Kevin Durant with everything going on here now with the Super Bowl finally done and the WM finally over with. We're kicking everybody out of their hotels today. Return your rental cars. Get out. The Durant deal came down. Ishbia gets introduced, and it had some headlines out here, Frank, for a minute, but we just did not get into Durant coming here, and I appreciate you making some time on this. When you heard this trade finally coming to fruition, what were your initial thoughts?
I think it's a great trade for the Phoenix Suns because they're a win-now team, and you had to give up a lot to get Kevin Durant. We know that they love Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson and all those first-round picks that they gave up. But players like Kevin Durant don't come along very often. You know, when he does play, he's still a great, great player. He's still one of the top players in the league. The biggest issue for him, really, you know, he showed up in Brooklyn. He was recovering from the Achilles. So they signed him knowing he wasn't going to play in the first year. You know, he has dealt with, you know, last year it was a left knee injury. This year it's a right knee injury. That's been the biggest thing with Kevin Durant. But when he's out there playing, he's still great. He can make big shots. He's unselfish. He defends. He's a leader. He's everything that you'd want in a superstar player.
When you drive into the arena, are you seeing the same Kevin Durant as 5 years ago outside of the injuries? Has his game changed, Frank? I guess is my question.
I actually think he's probably a little bit better. And, you know, defensively, he still gets it done. I thought early on this season with the Nets, I thought it took him a little while to get going. He didn't seem to have the energy. And you're wondering, well, is this kind of lingering from over the summer asking for a trade? It doesn't happen. Now he really doesn't want to play for the Nets. But guess what? The Nets had the greatest 20-game stretch in the history of their franchise. They went 18-2. Kevin Durant played in 19 of those games, and they went 17-2. Then he never played again. So Kevin Durant ends his career with the Brooklyn Nets, having won 17 of the last 19 games that he played in. So, you know, and you look at that roster, yes, Kyrie Irving was playing really well. But, you know, it's a lot of role players. And now on, you know, the Phoenix Suns, he's going to be playing with all-stars Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and then you got a guy like DeAndre Ayton. And think about when Kevin Durant was on an ensemble cast with the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green as his teammates. They were unbelievable, and they go to three finals. He wins two finals MVPs. The last one he obviously gets hurt. But think about this. He played in 10 finals games with the Golden State Warriors. They went 9-1 in those games. You know how hard it is to win one NBA Finals games. He won 9 of 10. Pretty good.
Why now? So last summer, I was saying on the air, this thing's not over with. You're going to have the trade deadline coming up in February. What was so attractive about this deal? Why did it happen now versus last summer from you?
It's a fair point because when you look at the moves that the Brooklyn Nets made, getting Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie, you would have thought maybe Kevin Durant playing with that group, plus the Nets could have probably made one or two other minor moves to make a run for it this year. And so the Nets making that trade, I think for them, they were shopping or they were looking to make a deal all summer long. And I think they were pretty close. I heard the two teams they were closest to were Toronto. They were real close with Toronto. And then Phoenix was another one. And everyone thought, well, DeAndre Ayton can't be involved in the deal because he just signed his contract. So maybe they'll wait 6 months and then DeAndre Ayton will be involved. I think the package that they got from Phoenix this week was nothing like they got over the summer. And I think Mikal Bridges they wanted, that was non-negotiable. Obviously, Cam Johnson was one. The four first-round draft picks. And I thought, you know, ESPN did a good story, Brian Windhorst and Ramona Shelburne, kind of talking about the behind-the-scenes stuff. So at first, Phoenix turned it down. Then they said, okay, we'll do the deal. And then the Nets said, you know what? We have one more. We want you to throw Jay Crowder into the deal as well. So I think the Nets got exactly what they wanted. And I think for the Phoenix Suns, it's hard to say goodbye to guys like Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. But you have Kevin Durant with those other three players, pretty, pretty good.
Frank Isola with us for a couple of minutes. I'll get back to Durant on one other point. But in terms of getting Bridges, I think, Frank, you're getting Bridges. He's still not even at his ceiling yet. He's such a great player every game and was overshadowed out here in a lot of respects. He's lovable. The fans are really upset. It's similar to when Jerry traded Hornacek to get Barkley here.
Very yeah.
Similar to that, that they did not want to see Mikal Bridges go, didn't want to see Cam Johnson go. Those two are fun kids, too. They love playing the game, and they love interacting with people. They're always smiling.
You know what? That's a great point you bring up. And, you know, I got to see Mikal Bridges play a lot at Villanova. My daughter went to school there, so I'd been to a lot of Villanova games. I know the Brunson family really well, so I knew a lot about Mikal Bridges even before the draft. He's become a much better NBA player than I thought, and it was amazing. So he has his press conference with Cam Johnson. The two of them were great. First of all, what you love about them, they're both very engaging. And both of them explained the trade, and neither of them were the victim, and that people lied to me, and this should have happened. They both said they almost seemed flattered that they were involved in a deal for Kevin Durant. That's how we're viewed around the league, that people are willing to trade for us, even if it means giving up Kevin Durant. And then I love the part where, you know, Mikal could not play in the first game because I guess the trade had just gone down. And Cam Johnson said that Mikal Bridges, who, as you know, plays every game, he was very anxious during the game. So think about this. They're actually happy and they want to play basketball, which puts both of them. Maybe they didn't get the memo yet that you're not really supposed to be like that. You know, you're supposed to be unhappy and figure out a way not to play in all the games. So that was actually very refreshing for the two of them.
Yeah. Load management, minute smiles, you know, all that stuff that's going on. One other thought on Durant. You talked about last November, I was listening to you about drama-free team. Could you get into that with Durant a little bit about being in a space where he doesn't have to get engaged other than just playing basketball? And then that's what's happening in Phoenix.
And I think the thing with Kevin Durant off the court, I think, you know, he spends a lot of time on social media. He used to go after people on social media with a burner account. Now he just goes directly at them. Now he's had a couple of back and forths with Shaquille O'Neal. He's a basketball junkie. That's the guy's life. He watches basketball, plays it. He watches the college game. He watches the women's game. He's only about basketball. So the off the court stuff that he gets involved in, I think it's a little silly for a player of his stature and his age to really be worried about going back and forth with people. But when it comes to just playing basketball, he's all about doing everything the right way. He's very supportive of his teammates. He holds his teammates accountable. You know, he came up, think about where he played. He comes up through, you know, Seattle, Oklahoma City under Sam Presti. They have a certain way of doing things there. You go to the Golden State Warriors. That was already a championship team when he went there. They have a certain way of doing things. He comes to Brooklyn. Now you're playing with Kyrie, and Kyrie is not Russell Westbrook. He's not Steph Curry. And he's got 9 million other things that he's getting involved in that are always, it's all nonsense, and he doesn't play in enough games. I think Kevin Durant going to Phoenix, knowing that Chris Paul is all business, and knowing that Devin Booker, he was with him on the national team, he's thinking, now maybe there might be some issues maybe with some other players, but I think he knows the core of that team, Devin Booker and Chris Paul, are just about winning basketball, and that's what Kevin Durant wants to be involved in.
And his attention to Monty Williams. I think that has been a big part of this behind the scenes, that Monty, when they were in Oklahoma City and what
happened
to his wife and all that, that Kevin was there. Kevin was one of the first people there from the way it sounded.
Yeah.
One last question. You look at the West today after everything has gone down. Are they the best team in the West? Are they the most equipped to win a title in the West? Because the West, top to bottom, you just look at it and say, I can make a case for this team. I can make a case for that team. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, I thought before the trade deadline, I was looking at Denver, even though Denver, let's face it, they've only won two playoff series you know, in any given year. They made it to a conference finals a few years ago. So there's still some question marks. How will Michael Porter do in a tight situation? Same thing with Jamal Murray. I think it's Denver, and I think Phoenix, and I like the Clippers as well. To me, it's just not going to happen for the Warriors. They're a 500 team. right now. There always seems to be something going on. Now Steph Curry is hurt. They traded James Wiseman, the player they get back, Gary Payton. The second isn't – you don't know if he's going to play. I think it's those three teams. But I think the fact that Kevin Durant been to, obviously, the NBA Finals with two different organizations, the fact that the Phoenix Suns, you know, Devin Booker's been to an NBA Finals, I would give them the slight edge right now. And I know people love to talk about depth. And again, you mentioned – having to part ways with, you know, two likable and serviceable, more than serviceable players in Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. But it's a superstar-driven league. And Kevin Durant is still a great, great player. And we know that Devin Booker is a great player. And the same thing with Chris Paul. The issue will be, and we've seen this throughout their careers, especially recently, can all three of them stay healthy? Because they do, you know, there have been issues with getting hurt. Those are legitimate injuries. I'm not saying they're dogging it or don't want to play. That's not the case at all. That to me will be the biggest thing for them. Can they stay healthy when it matters most?
Frank, appreciate the time and insight as always. Thanks.
All right, Brad, keep up the good work.
There's Frank Isola with us. You can find him on ESPN, Sirius XM. And of course, his social is at the Frank Isola on Twitter and Instagram. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, so it's the day after, and as I said earlier, I'm very happy to have Debbie Johnson with us, Arizona Office of Tourism, and here's the reason why. I'm very happy that rental cars are being returned today. I'm very happy hotel rooms are going to be emptied out today. I don't mean this in a negative way, but all of you that are here for the Super Bowl and WM, please leave, because we have baseball now coming in today. We have to change over rooms. We have to get more people to come into our state. And I say that facetiously on one hand. The other hand, I know it's going to get crazy with 15 teams. I appreciate you coming on board. What do you think of this last week, Debbie, from your view?
What a week. Like, we couldn't have had a better week. We couldn't have had a better game. Our weather was perfect. The game was amazing. Like, what a game. It was just so exciting to watch. And to see all the people enjoying Arizona, for me, that's why we do what we do. Right. To get to have them here for this weather and all the activities. And truly, congratulations to Michael Bidwell and Jay Perry and everybody associated with the host committee who did such an amazing job in having everybody here in Arizona. It was amazing.
How did it work out having the WM with 800,000 people?
Well, from what I heard, everybody had a great time. So you have people out at the open, you have people at the game and for all the activities for the Super Bowl, and everybody had a great experience. And that's what I've heard, the feedback that we've gotten. And so we couldn't be happier. And truly, the weather was what we like to call it tourism weather, but really it's Arizona weather. And it was spectacular.
Yeah, no, I was selling sunshine on my social media. That's how I put it. Selling sunshine at 16. Why not?
Absolutely.
How do you put these events together to, I know you can't control weather, but you can control a lot of things. How many moving parts? You thanked Michael and you thanked Jay and gave them shout outs, but this is government side that has to be involved in this too. Transportation has to be involved in this. The airports, there's so many groups and I have not heard of any hiccups. So pull the curtain back on the business side of putting these events together if you could.
Yeah, Brad, I think you said it. I don't think that's what people understand is when I say thousands, literally thousands of people work together to make these events a success. And that's what I love about this community. And by community, I mean our state, because we have so many communities, whether it's the hospitality community, the public safety community, the transportation community, and then our general communities in as our cities who come together, who make sure that they work together. And not all destinations do. And they work together to make these events a success. Super Bowl, Final Four, Cactus League, the Open, all of them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about where we live is the pride that we all have in hosting these events and making sure that they come off and that our fans, the visitors, the players, the teams, everybody has a great experience when they're here.
Debbie Johnson with us, Arizona Office of Tourism, for a few minutes. This is a wrap up, putting a bow on what just took place. And I have to go back to Barrett Jackson even. You know, when we have the calendar, it goes from Barrett and it goes into a Super Bowl and WM, and then it gets turned over to spring training this week. And we have three golf tournaments, major golf tournaments. We have the seniors down in Tucson. We have the LPGA at Superstition Mountain. We have the LIV down in Tucson. All this stuff plus spring break that's coming up. You look ahead, though. A year from now, we're talking about the Final Four being here. 2 years from now, we're talking about the women's Final Four being here. How do you get involved in the pipeline to get another Super Bowl back? That's what question I'm getting from fans today. How do we get this back?
I think we got it back by our performance this week. And, you know, we don't know when that will be, but we know that we hosted this event successfully. People love our destination. I have people telling me it should be in Arizona every year because of how well we host it, our incredible weather, and everything that comes together to make it so fantastic for everybody. So, you know, we're looking forward, as you said, to the Final Four. It's not that far away, 419 days. And so we're looking forward to that. And we know that we keep moving on. We've got Cactus League for 6 weeks that's going to be here. I think 220 games, an incredible experience for people who are, again, coming in from all around the country to enjoy Arizona. And I know in my job, that's what we love, is being able to showcase Arizona and having people come in and not only get to see the valley, but get to see the other parts of our state as well, and see whether it's the Grand Canyon or it's Southern Arizona, and get to experience Arizona like we do.
When you finish big events or a big run like this, what do you do in your meetings? Is it looking at heads on beds? Again, we're talking business side. Heads on beds, numbers of nights, cars rented, mounts. How much post do you do on this with your team at AOT or just around the state?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a little bit of post that takes place, but I think when you look at it as a whole, we know it was a success. So we'll wait for those numbers. The studies will all come out. The people will tell us how many were here, how many hotel rooms we filled, all of that great things. But we know it was a success. So now we're moving on because we want to make sure the next one is a success too. And we're not looking at it, oh, this one was great, so the next one will be. We know that there's a lot of work that goes into these events. And so we're already going to look forward and work to make sure that the next one's a success too.
You're talking about facilities for the Final Four. Is it as simple as you roll off the goalposts, as our friend Andy Bagnotta would say, and roll in the basketball hoops and put them up and away we go? Or is there more to it?
Don't you wish it were that simple? Gosh, I wish it were that simple. You know, exactly. It would be great if it were that easy, but it's not. But we want to make it look that easy. So I think that's the beauty of all the people who come together, whether it's the workers, whether it's the volunteers. I always forget the volunteers, but man, they had thousands of volunteers for Super Bowl. We'll have thousands for Final Four. And we could not do it without the volunteers. So everybody's going to come together and talk about the next steps. And that planning literally will start this week to go on to the next event. And, you know, you want to take a little break and enjoy it. And so we'll do that probably today. But that's not going to be much longer than that before we start going.
Debbie Johnson with us, Arizona Office of Tourism. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Mondays with John Wilner. I look forward to Mondays with John to start my week out on the right note, because I know that in John's space, he's going to come at it from all different angles around the Pac-12 and college football, college basketball, college sports in general, sports media rights and all that. You can follow John on Wilner Hotline, read his content on the website at sports360az.com, and we see him from time to time on our television program across the network on Bally's. It is good to see you. Amazon plus SMU. You wrote about this. Are we now down to the, it's going to be SMU and San Diego State and Amazon's probably the player? Are we down to that point yet, John?
We're getting close. I do think that they are within about a month of getting everything wrapped up. And that would include whether they're going to expand or not, whether they're going to have a new TV deal, all that stuff. To me, San Diego State and SMU are the front runners. I do not think that expansion is completely a done deal. I think the presidents are interested enough in it and what it could bring to the conference to go through the process, you know, the exploratory process. The commissioner and some conference executives were at SMU's campus last week. I believe they probably toured some other places and we just don't know about it. So they are, you know, doing their due diligence on this. I don't think that they are, it's guaranteed that they're going to expand, but I think there's a good chance. And SMU and San Diego State are probably at the top of the list. Amazon, I think there's a good chance Amazon will be a partner. I would be surprised if the Pac-12 puts all of its football and basketball on Amazon, because you need to have exposure on broadcast television. You need to have exposure on cable, right? It's not, I don't think the media consumption world is ready for all of your content to be on Amazon. You know, it's still a little bit unwieldy if you're watching Prime Video, right? Because if you want to channel surf, you got to close the app and then you got to open another app, right? if they can get that technology figured out, it would really help. But I think the Pac-12 will still end up with some games on ESPN.
Okay, so from the distance, and I'm talking about distance, I'm in Pullman, Washington, and I have to go play at SMU, and I'm going to go play on a night game on Saturday. I'm not getting back till midday Sunday, probably. The distance part of it for student athletes, and I know we went through this with UCLA and USC, and look at these poor kids are going to have to go to Rutgers and Maryland and play their soccer games and all that. Isn't that somewhat the same adding SMU? And isn't this specifically just about adding the Dallas television market and that's it?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it is about adding the Dallas television market, getting a foot, your flag planted in Texas, I think, to help recruiting, especially with football. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a big part. That's a big part of it. There's no doubt about it. And your Pullman, Seattle to Dallas, Pullman to Dallas, those are long trips. But look, you know, right now in the Big 12, you got to go from Lubbock, Texas to Morgantown, West Virginia. And you're going to have to go from Lubbock, Texas to Orlando, Florida and Cincinnati. It's kind of where things are moving for a lot of these conferences. I do think that a big piece of the reason to add schools, and that, you know, they could add four. I mean, I don't think that's completely out of the question. I think it's unlikely. But the big thing is you need games to sell to TV partners. And if you have more teams, you can play more games, right? The Pac-12 could play, you know, 13 to 15 more home football games a year if it's a 12-team conference compared to being a 10-team conference. And that's a lot of money in the TV world.
Is the pressure starting to mount on Commissioner Kliakoff? Or is this, look, Brad, he's going to be just fine no matter how this comes down. Because if you and I are having this discussion in 4 to 6 weeks from now, if we're past the Final Four, I have to look at it and say, okay, he can't find a deal anywhere, John. Like, there really is a clock on him, isn't there, from the president's
yes.
point of view?
I think absolutely there is. And the pressure is mounting because the Pac-12 does not have a deal, and it's now been basically 7 months, right? And if they had a great offer, they would have taken it by now. So clearly there's not a great offer out there. Clearly some of the external forces are working against them. You know, the economic downturn, ESPN announcing they were going to kind of make some cuts. That stuff is not helping. The whole mess with Comcast that was inherited from the previous administration, I don't think that helped matters either, just in terms of the negotiations. So yeah, the pressure is mounting. And that's why I think that within a month, if they don't have a deal, or if they are not basically crossing the T's and dotting the I's at that point, then it's going to be time for Pac-12 fans to start to panic.
Yeah. Or administration. Like, do we really have the right guy in place? I would have to think.
Yeah.
That is this the right guy to get a deal done? Because you're right. Market forces are changing. When there's going to be hundreds of jobs eliminated over at ESPN by Disney, you're not going to get the same number that you thought you were going to get. And then you have to figure out what to do with your whole Pac-12 network staff and the producing content there, and if it even is football and basketball, if it's just the Olympic sports. I mean, I think the trickle down is now becoming a waterfall, and it's got to get figured out here, I'd say, by April 1st. So,
yeah, no, I would agree. And I certainly think that at that point, yes, the schools will start to wonder about the leadership of the conference, and they'll start to wonder if they need to go somewhere else. There's no doubt about it.
At basketball, bad weekend for the Pac, in my opinion. With U of A losing at Stanford, the one line doesn't look to me plausible at all. I mean, we could have a whole bunch of upsets. I can't just automatically say it. And it may come down to U of A, UCLA in a few weeks to determine a number one seed. Do you see UCLA as a one? With U of A losing, do you see them out of that role?
It's tough. I think both schools have got a hard road to being on that number one line because they're not playing other tournament teams. Yeah. So they don't have as much chance to improve their resumes, to add those quadrant one wins that are so important to getting a number one seed, right? That's the problem. The Pac-12 doesn't have another team besides Arizona and UCLA, that's a lock for the NCAA tournament. So, you know, push comes to shove, we could get to selection weekend and the committee is looking around and they're thinking, you know what, UCLA and Arizona, they don't have the resumes that quite clear the bar. And every time you lose to, at this point in the season, when you lose to a Stanford, or if you're a USC and you lose to Oregon State, you know, those losses can really have an impact. I don't think the door is closed for either Arizona or UCLA to get a number one seed, but I think it's a pretty narrow path.
John Wilner, find his content, Wilner Hotline on Twitter and, of course, on the website. Thanks, John. We'll see you next week.
Thanks very much, Brett.